Lord have mercy, baby's got her blue jeans on. Up by the bus stop and across the street.
Rosie said it, we have a packed program. Let's get right to it. In studio with us, we have Amanda Keim. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Welcome. You're in the commander's seat today. I was sorry about that. You got two buttons to turn on for the microphone.
Well, I didn't want to push the wrong one and then end up like having to sing for you or something. So I thought it would be best to just let you guide me through this commander center.
Well, we found the Keim Ranch. I don't know exactly how, but we, at the beginning of the year, made a rededication to go American. If it wasn't American made, learn to live without it. And that was the hardest part of that for me. Was all the brand of jeans I wear, Wrangler, Cinch, Ariat, all of them were outsourced. I'm like, where, when these go bad, I'm not going Adam and Eve style.
Thank you.
But where's my Western blue jeans?
And then here we came, like a knight in shining armor.
Like a knight in shining armor. And the best part of it, not only are y'all American made, you're based in Arizona.
Right here in your backyard. Can you believe it?
And how long have y'all been around?
We started in spring of 2009, my husband and I.
So
and here we
I'm
are.
Embarrassed. How did it take us 8 years to find y'all?
Well, it took us 8 years to really kind of get legs on the ground. I shouldn't say 8 years, but I mean, we had a slow start. We really do have the quit your job, start your dream story.
Tell me about it. Let's hear it.
Well, in 2008, my husband and I were wildly in love, and we got married. And after that, in 2009, we had these big dream speeches about hopes and dreams and how we could conquer the world together. And we wanted to create a brand that would grow larger than us. And we always landed on denim. And I think part of that is because we showed horses for so many years. So we were in the saddle wearing jeans all day, every day. And we really had this hard time with wearing Western jeans that we weren't happy with for whatever reason at that time, or wearing fashion jeans. Well, fashion jeans aren't durable and they can't last in the saddle and they're expensive, and so you would tear them up. And our Western jeans were, well, not flattering, and we didn't want to wear them out somewhere. It was just this hot mess. You had, you know, fashion jeans.
You don't
jeans
like the waistline 3 inches above your belly button?
No. I mean, some people do. That's cool. But no, not for me. So we were like, well, let's create jeans. How hard can that be? So we talked about this a lot. And then literally one day, Matt called on the phone and he had this awful day.
And
at
Matt
work.
Is?
Matt's my darling husband. And he called and he said, if we don't ever do this, we're not going to. And so literally 3 days later, we were in Los Angeles. I had quit my job. He had really scaled back on his business. And we drove to Los Angeles and we started knocking on doors. And it was like, hi, do you guys sell denim? Sure, come on in. What are you looking for? Blue denim? We had to go from door to door and really figure out how jeans are made. We Googled how to make jeans. We sat down with all of our jeans and drew them out and spec'd them out and created what we felt was the perfect product. And then we had to figure out how to kind of implement this into the real world. So that's really where we started. Really interesting. We knew we wanted to be American made because it was easier for us to control your quantities, your quality, all of those aspects. And we didn't want to spend an exorbitant amount of money on something we didn't know a lot about at the time. And we, if you went to Asia or something, you had to make 3,000 units or 5,000 units. And we certainly didn't have the wherewithal at that time to do so. When we went to Los Angeles in 2009, as we all remember, there was a recession going on, and Los Angeles was a ghost town. Buildings were boarded up. The fashion garment district down there was just nothing going on. So we had to make a lot of phone calls and go to a lot of whatever doors were open, and we landed on the same contractors we still use today. Our loyalties together were, really parallel in making our brand go, keeping their businesses alive, and they taught us what we know. So, we are forever grateful for those relationships, and that was really important for us to continue keeping everything stateside. We always said, no matter how big we get, if we have to get more contractors or whatever, we're going to do that to keep the brand, the denim side, staying right here in Los Angeles, or right there in Los Angeles.
So who designed the jeans?
Matt and I designed the jeans. And so basically what we did was we took all of our jeans and would lay them out on the floor. And then we would measure everything, measure the belt loops, measure where the pocket sits, measure how big the pockets were, measure the zipper, where the, you know, where the knee hit, where the ankle was, all those things, probably way more than we needed to. And we would then take and say, well, I think that the jean needs to sit a little higher on my waist. I think that the boot opening needs to be a little smaller because I don't like walking on my jeans. We took all of those elements and then you take them to a pattern maker, someone that can actually draw it out on paper. And that person, you know, kind of helps bring the jean to fruition at that point. So
now, whose brilliant idea was it to design in the men's jeans a pocket for your knife?
Well, it was absolutely my idea. So that was my husband's idea. So he, as you know, most people in the Western side of it, or even, you know, kind of hardworking men, you all wear a knife pocket. And you know what it's like when you're trying to get your hand in your pocket and you're sitting down and you can't pull it out and you're cutting your knuckles on the tip of your knife or whatever. So he was just not happy.
And the knife makers finally got savvy to that and they started putting clips on it that you could clip on. But every person that has a jeans more than 6 months, you start to see the top of that pocket fray. You can tell that's where he keeps his knife.
That's where he keeps his knife. So he took the first prototypes. They were just existing jeans we had, and he would cut a little swath of denim and take them to his mom, and she would take her little home sewing machine and kind of maneuver where we thought we should put them on the jeans. And so when we first came out with it, people were like, why do you have a pocket there? Why would we put our knife there? And now people that wear the brand couldn't ever imagine going back to not having that knife pocket.
It's absolutely brilliant. I'm surprised that you haven't seen other manufacturers and brands catch on to that.
But we have.
You've got competition chasing you now?
Yes, it's coming. It's coming. But, you know, that's like the biggest form of flattery there. So I try not to get my feathers too ruffled over stuff like that.
Now, I will have one critique for the knife pocket, though.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Why don't you have one on the left? Not everyone in the world is right-handed.
I know. And you know what? We get asked that semi-frequently. We need to create like a right-handed knife pocket jean versus a left, like a right Twix, left Twix type of thing with our jeans. So you can choose.
More with Kimes Ranch Western Wear right after this.
Keep Rosie on the House the number one referral directory in the state by voting at rosieonthehouse.com or ranking Arizona.